Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday night. This is Brother Nate with another Man broadcast, and I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has given me the opportunity once again to share the very word of God with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast, and once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's godswordman@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, before we go into the lesson tonight, let us pray. So once again, wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together for His Spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For once again, you have blessed us to see another day. Father, once again, you've given us opportunity to approach you in faith and humility, to petition you once again for the presence of your Spirit to be with us. Therefore, Lord God, we let our requests be made known unto you in this area with thanksgiving. So therefore, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit being with us as we go into this lesson tonight. We thank you for what your Spirit is going to do tonight with us, that is, going to reveal, Lord God, what is in the mind of God that is going to witness tonight. Those that are listening, and Father, I thank you. Lord God, this day and forever, I give you glory and honor and praise. And Lord, I magnify you in Jesus' almighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God once again for another blessed day in the Lord. As you've been listening, I've been going to the message. The messages I have started off in the first message, and however the Lord will lead, and this is tonight's first message, God's Word to Man, Part 4. And once again, the scriptures I give you, these are messages that is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ through His Elijah, mentioned in Matthew 17 and in Malachi chapter 4. Read Acts chapter 3. Verse 19 to verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. This is the Elijah that Jesus had promised to send, and he has been sending him with words and instruction for mankind, they that would be of the bride. Amen. And therefore, I've been bringing before you what is called the first message that Christ sent out through his angel, the Elijah, February the 4th, 1927. And therefore, the last thing I left off with in reading messages to you is when Christ said that his coming is near at hand and he would not delay it due to the unfaithfulness of the people. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No matter, and as I was talking to you, the people. When you say the people, what people you talking about? He's talking about those that professing to be his own. Even if they're not faithful in the work that the Lord has given to them, that is not going to prevent the time that the Father has set for the coming of his Son. Amen? You just don't want to be caught not doing or not being in Christ when Christ returns. Amen? We saw that in Matthew 24, where Jesus said, "An evil servant shall say that my Lord delayeth his coming." That's especially those who once were servants of Christ turns evil and begin to fight their fellow servants and smite them, okay, and drink with the drunken. They go back out into the world, and Jesus shows up and appoint that man's portion with the hypocrites, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, and I think that's in Mark chapter 13, and he's telling you to be watchful, lest when he come, lest when his coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. Now, if you're literally asleep, you are inactive. So you transfer that over to the spiritual, you're being inactive or unfaithful to what Christ has called you, you can be in a spiritual sleep. And you do not want the Lord to come back finding you sleeping. Amen? And today, you have some of God's people who are in a spiritual sleep. Amen? Hallelujah. So he had sent this message out once again, February the 4th, 1927. And once again, I don't have problem giving you dates because I want you to ask the Lord Jesus. Now, once again, some of you is going to hear these words, and you may get an instant witness right then that this is true, that it comes from Jesus being sent through his angel. Okay? I say amen. Then maybe some of you that may not sense nothing about it. You may say, Brother Nate, I can't say yay that this is from the Lord. I can't say it's not. But I will make it a true matter of prayer and seeking the Lord and finding out whether this is true or not. And to that I say hallelujah still. Amen. But then there are going to be some others of you that's going to say, man, Nate, you just playing crazy. Body up some angel coming. Man, you coming up with this stuff and you click me off. Or you might have some choice words for me. Well, I still say amen. Thank the Lord because, you know, this is not, I'm not over this work. God is. Amen. So we're going to continue on in this first message and look at what else Christ talks about in this first message that he sent out. Amen. Hallelujah. What else do we talk about? Well, another thing that he talks about is how that we're going to be held accountable for not getting this gospel or getting the word out to the people, especially when we have had a time to warn them by the word that is given to us by Jesus Christ. Well, you said, well, what do you mean? Well, in this first message, the Lord Jesus sent out through the Elijah. He says, the blood of this generation will be required of all those, get this, that profess the name of Christ. Did you hear that? Or must I read it again? I think I'll read it again. Amen. Jesus said through the Elijah, the blood of this generation will be required of all those that profess the name of Christ. So you're thinking just calling yourself a Christian and not doing nothing of a work for the Lord is enough, huh? I told you, our God, and I'm talking about the true and living God, is a loving, long-suffering God. Yes, he is. Thank God for that. But he is not a dummy. And I say it again. The Lord Jesus Christ is a loving. No one can love no one better than him. No one is more long-suffering than him. Amen to that. But he is not a dummy. There are some professing Christians. You can't beat them talking about how they are a Christian. But they're doing nothing in the work of the Lord. Some of them are wrapped up in how much money they can make on their jobs. Some of them are wrapped up on being noticed, trying to gain power, but not doing the work for the Lord. And some of you think, just how you say the Lord loves me, takes care of, that you ain't held accountable for nothing. But guess what? If you are a professing Christian and you're not doing the work of the Lord, you're not trying to get this gospel out. Now, some of you say, well, I ain't in the ministry. You ain't got to be in the ministry to tell people about Jesus, to give the gospel out. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are a born again believer in Christ, you have a commission by the Lord to warn the people by giving them the gospel. And God said, the blood of this generation is going to be required. to be held accountable for your part in not giving them the warning message and not giving them the gospel. See, there's no free rides here, people. There's no free rides, and Jesus is showing his people that. He's showing his people that. Because it's amazing how so many people use the God loves me phrase to justify them not doing nothing or excusing themselves for not doing nothing. When another believer approaches and says, you know, I'm supposed to work for the Lord, blah, blah, blah. They say, well, yeah, but the Lord knows my heart and he loves me and he knows what I can do, what I can't do. And thinking that that kind of talk justifies or gets them by. No, you have a job to do as a believer. When Jesus saved you, thank God that he saved you. He didn't save you for you just to sit in the pew or just to come to serve each Sunday for about, listen to preach about 45 minutes to an hour, because some of us is not even coming to Sunday school. Amen, but that's another story. So you come to preacher service, listen to the preacher about 45 minutes to an hour, and then boom, 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 he dismisses and you go home. That is not what your Christian life supposed to consist of. You supposed to be a servant, not just a child of God, but a servant of the Lord in the household of faith. That means you got a work to do, okay? And some of you, it's not even interested in finding out what specific job. Now, we all, as believers, got the common call job of giving the gospel. But when you break down the individual levels, we have individual callings. And some of these people is not even interested in that. When you ask them, well, what do you know what particularly God has called you to do? No. Now, everybody not knowing everything, but I can listen to their answer, because their answer is a true no, but their answer also is not interested in finding out. Oh, of course, they say, well, I need to find out. But I can pick up in my spirit that they're not going to do anything. Amen? Some of us is on passiveness and think that that passiveness is going to protect you. No, the passiveness will get you in trouble. It will get you in trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look more. Let's look at another witness to that. Let's go to the Bible, and we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, praise the Lord. Chapter 3, Ezekiel, Old Testament, praise the Lord. Those that want to holler, hey, wait a minute, slow down, put the foot on the brakes. We are not an Old Testament church. We are New Testament, and to you I say amen. But however, the spiritual principle in the Old Testament that are given still applies. There's things that God said in the Old Testament. He did not change his mind in the New Testament. So please, let's stop with that, okay? Now, I'm not telling you that go sacrifice some blue or the bulls and go. No, that's done away with. The ordinance is part of that law of Moses is done away. No, we don't do that no more. But there are spirit principles and things in the Old Testament that apply to the day. Just like, for example, even when you go to the adultery, God said thou shalt commit adultery in the Old Testament. Did you change his mind in the New Testament? No. Okay. Amen. So, Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 18. Okay. Let's start at verse 17. Now, remember, literally at first, this word had went to Israel, who was known as God's ancient covenant people. Spiritually today, it goes to God's people today, born-again believers who are the spiritual Israel, okay? Hallelujah. That's why it has a twofold application here, okay? Now, verse 17 says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, that's instruction from the Lord. God is telling that, people. If you are a professing believer, he's telling you that. He's telling you to hear the word at his mouth, because remember he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So he's telling us believers, he said, now, hear the word at his mouth and give them the warning from me. Amen. That's why he said in the word of the Lord, the bullet of the generation it's required at of all that profess the name of Christ, that profess the name of Christ. Now, verse 18, he said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Did you hear that? Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered Christ. See, now you are held accountable. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, Jesus said, for example, the gospel of Christ, the word of God. God said, okay, I've given you my word to speak to the wicked, tell them to repent, come to me, all of that. Now, if you're not warning, if you're not taking that message out and warning, and the wicked die in their sin, which he said that's going to happen if they don't turn from their wickedness, God said, I'm holding you accountable for not giving them the gospel that would have gave them a chance. Okay? He said, but however, if you warn them and giving them the word of God, giving them the gospel, or wherever God sometimes give a personal word for you to tell someone in particular, and you do it, and they still commit sin, they would die in their wickedness, but however, you have delivered your soul. You understand what I'm saying? So you're held accountable for not doing, okay? Now, you're not held accountable if you're warning or giving the gospel, and they still decide to go on and sin. You're not held accountable, but you're held accountable for not doing. Now, verse 20 said, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he should die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he have done, should not be remembered. But his blood would I require at thy hand. Why? Once again, he said, why? Because you didn't warn him. You didn't warn him. Hallelujah. See, the gospel is for all people. Righteousness, wicked, okay? But you have a job. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. But you have a job to do. Not sit around talking about what you want to do. You got a job to do. You got to warn. You got to give the gospel message. Amen? Some of you are too ashamed to even talk about Jesus. Some of you too ashamed to even tell people you're a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you got to go around running everybody's face. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. No. But when the time comes for it, you're too afraid to even open your mouth to even say it. Even when people have confronted you, when they say, hey, I heard you're a Christian. Well, you know, I go to church. You're too scared to even come out and say, yes, I'm born again by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Too afraid to say it. Okay? And see, you see some of the things that the people around you are doing where you have an opportunity to warn them about what Jesus said, and you won't do it because you're too afraid. You're either too afraid that they're going to quit being your friend or your associate, or they're going to all treat you like a bad disease, which that could happen. Amen. But remember, the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The question is, do we believe? Amen. Now, verse 21, he said, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he should surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Do you hear that? So he's saying that the blood of this generation, righteous or wicked, is required at the hand of those that profess Christ, because for the simple fact is, if you have been given the gospel to give out, or given even a personal word of warning, a message to someone, and you don't do it, you're held accountable. You're held accountable. So that takes away the sitting around laying on the couch thing, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That takes away being slothful. I know sometimes, you know, you get people that don't want to hear that word, but that I'm sad to say, that's what we have become in the body of Christ. We have become slothful, lazy. We have become lazy in studying the word. We've become lazy in prayer. We've become lazy. And we think that God's supposed to automatically do. We don't do nothing for him. And God forbid if he just turn around and tell us, I want you to do it. We should be different. And we coming up with every possible reason why we would not be the perfect candidate to do it. Telling Almighty God, do you believe that? Yeah, that's what we do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 18. Let's go to Acts 18. Still looking at this point here. Acts chapter 18. Thank God for the word of God. And hallelujah. I have to say, I sense the presence of the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 6. Verse 6 is going to be our key verse. I sense the presence of God, speaking to God for the Holy Ghost power. And I have to do what God had me to do. So I'm going into this message. Yes, I'll be coming with even some more subjects. Lord say the same, upcoming. One I got coming up, Lord say the same soon. But right now, we're going the way of the Lord in this. Amen. Now, book of Acts chapter 18. Verse 1 said, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because their Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker along with them, okay? And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So he didn't just keep his focus on making tents. Do you get that? See, some of us get an excuse. Oh, my job, and I got my job. You just confined to your earth job. Now, Paul, the Bible said Paul and Aquila and Priscilla was of the same craft. They were tent makers. But he didn't let that be the only thing he did. Look what it said, verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. What is he taking? The gospel. Hallelujah. The earthly job was not in his sight higher than his call. Do you understand what I'm saying? Verse 5 said, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Wow. Did you hear that? See, Paul was giving them the gospel and testifying to Christ, and they didn't want to hear. They started blaspheming. Okay? He was warning them. They didn't want to hear. Okay? Because remember, the Jews were the ones who rejected Christ and crucified him. And see, many of them were still in their sins, and Paul was trying to warn them, hallelujah, glory. And he told them, after they had rejected and blasphemed, he said, as you read it, he said, your blood be upon your own head. Just that goes with Ezekiel, and that goes with what the Lord said here in this first message, that it was off him now. He is now no more held accountable. Why? Because he was out trying to give them the word, okay? Amen. So he said, I'm clean. I'm clean. This y'all blood is not on me. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm not held accountable because for not warning you. And you still want to persist in your sin. And if you continue on like that, you will die in your sins. I'm not going to be held accountable because I tried to warn you. I tried to give you the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why the Lord said in the first message, the blood of this generation will be required of all them that profess Christ, okay? Do you see that? Do you understand that, what he's saying? And we're looking here in the scripture, and it shows. Amen. Paul was tent maker, but that tent maker job, and see, we're elevating our earthly job way over our calling. Because our earthly job, some of us on our earthly job, we're making bukus of money. Well, I might as well be real about it. Ain't no need about lying about it. And you're looking at that money. So when that boss tells you, say, hey, I need you to come in Sunday. I need you to come in Sunday and work, you know, do some more overtime. And you got, well, I'm supposed to have service. We got Sunday school at 10, but man, well, the Lord understands. I just read my Bible when I get home. You're making up all excuses. Okay? all excuses on why not to go, because you have shown what is the greater priority with you. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, another thing he said in this first message, he talks about that I want to read unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He talks about the requirement. Now, he said the blood of this generation required at the hands of all those who profess Christ, let us know we have a work to do with the gospel out. But he also talks about the requirement of you being true to your calling and telling the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, let me read what he says here. Jesus said through the sending of his angel that he would not hold us responsible for the mistake of others. Just like we read in Ezekiel, where when you warn them, if they still persist to go on, you're not held accountable. Okay? Now, he would not hold us responsible for the mistakes of others, but will require us, hear this real closely, but will require us to be true to our calling and tell the truth. True to our calling. Some of us don't even know what our call is. Now, once again, the general call is to give the gospel. Yeah, but there are some individual callings that God have for us personally. And some of us don't even know it per se, and they're even interested in finding out. So that be the case, how are you going to be true to it? And then some of you do know, and you ain't operating in it. And God said that's a requirement for you to be true to your calling. Some of us don't want people to see us working in our calling because we become ashamed that they're going to make fun of us. You know what I'm talking about? You know when you got your reputation among the boys to be the big dog, the big shot, you know, and all that. And now your boys got to see you up behind a pulpit saying Jesus is Lord, and you don't want to see that, want them to see that, so you try to service a whole lot, you know, because you're afraid somebody's going to come there from your job or something like that and recognize you. Go back and tell the others, say, man, I saw so-and-so in the pulpit preaching. Amen. True. But God said he required us to be true to our calling and get this and tell the truth, not tell a lie. It's amazing how some Christians get this, are telling lies and not even convicted. Sometimes laugh about it. Amen. Some are lying, get this. Some are lying on their income tax. Some are claiming children that they're not theirs and says that they're their child. Some of them are claiming folks and saying they take care of folks when they ain't. Why? Just to get more money. Well, guess what? When you think God doesn't look at that, yes, he does, because that's lying, period. What you think going to happen if you get caught, and especially if some sinners find out and know you and find out you've been lying, what you think going to happen? You think you're going to be made fun of because you're a Christian? Or you're going to be talked about work because you're supposed to be a Christian, but you're lying. Amen. That's the requirement of God, people. Amen. Hallelujah. To be true to your call, you got to be faithful. Got to be true to it. How does a wife be true to her husband? She has to be faithful to him. If she's out there fooling around and winking her eye and rolling her hips and flirting with every man, that's not being true. Plus, she does her role, what is needed towards her husband. That's how she's being true. How does a man, a husband, be faithful to, true to his wife? Same thing. Going out there winking his eyes, flirting with women and stuff like that, that's not being true. And then his duties and responsibilities as a husband to a wife, he got to do. If not doing it, that's not being true. So the same way with your call, you know your call, but you're not doing your duty and responsibility and being constant in fulfilling that call. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hidabashata. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Let's go look at another one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Thank God. Hidabashata. For what Matthew records. What something Jesus said here in the scriptures here. Matthew chapter 24. Okay. We're going to look at verse 45. Matthew chapter 24. verse 45. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God says, Jesus said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord have made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now, find so doing what? Doing what he was called to do. Being true to his call. Okay? Hallelujah. See, God calls it a faithful servant. That's a true servant. And that's why he said here in this first message that it's a requirement for us to be true to our calling. It's a requirement, people. Oh, my God, I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's not a requirement that you can do. Just do whatever you want to. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to be faithful. No. Hallelujah. Just like some of you men who get ready to marry a woman and say in the Lord, she got to know that it's a requirement for her to be faithful to you. Amen. Some of you women, same way, finna marry a Christian man. Man, they supposed to know or need to know it's a requirement that they be true to you. Okay? Overall, God wants us to know that whatever he called us to, it is a requirement that you be true to that calling, not neglect that calling, to be true to it, okay? Not put it on the back shelf, not talking about where I'm going to get to it sometime, or talking about when I make some more money, I'm going to be able to go do a work for the Lord. No. Now. I say now. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost on that because God is really, I sense in my spirit strongly stressing on people being true to their call and their responsibility. There's a lot of neglect in the body of Christ of the responsibility and call that God has placed on your life, and you finna give an account for doing nothing. Because you think that you're going to get scot-free, scot-by, go on, blah, blah, blah. See, this is why some of you are finding yourself in trouble in a lot of stuff, because you haven't been doing what God has commanded you to do. Some of you, once again, know what God has commanded. You're not ignorant of what the call is on your life. You just haven't been doing it. And you think that everything's supposed to run smooth because you know you got knowledge of it and you're not doing it. No. Emphatically, no. Not so. And he said in his first message, he would not hold you responsible for the mistake of others, but require you to be true to the call. That's my brother on here. God bless you, brother. God bless.
God bless you. Not going to be long, Emmanuel, Brother Money, Brother Nate. All this saying God's word. Keep on doing what you're doing. Being soldiers of the Lord. And have a blessed day in the Lord from John, another soldier of the Lord. Be blessed in the Lord.
Amen, brother. We appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Okay, God bless.
Thank God for Brother John. Once again, always giving a word of encouragement. I thank God for the brother because, you know, many times you don't have to say a bunch of words. You just need to mean what you say from your heart. And I sense from in my spirit that when he gives us that words of encouragement, he actually means what he say. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, some of you call Ephesus, you know, either way, but Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the precious word. of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Look what Paul says to the church at Ephesus about a particular brother. He said, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus. Let me see if I'm not pronouncing right. Tychicus. And I may not be pronouncing it right, but anyway, how a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things." Look at what Paul said about him. Not only was he a beloved brother, but he was a faithful minister. Hallelujah. In the Lord. A faithful minister in the Lord. Hallelujah. Faithful, true. Paul letting us say he was true to the call of his on his life. Okay. You know, you can look at some in the church, and some you may know of their lives, and you know they're not doing anything for the Lord. And get fight mad at you if you even bring a little whisk of it up. If you throw a little hint over that way. And I ain't talking about throwing a hint where you trying to be contrify or evil. But I'm talking about if you just begin to start off even in a the right spirit talking that way. Oh, they on fire at you now. You finna feel the blaze coming. And I ain't talking about from a radiator. So Paul was able to speak on the behalf of this brother, because Paul must have seen him in action or knew concerning him to say, a faithful minister in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I know some of you pastors whose heart may be grieving now. You see some of the members in the church ain't nowhere near true to the call. In fact, some of them don't even hardly show up from church. They might come to service once or twice a year. Once every 6 months, and I'm not trying to be funny or joke about it. Actually, that's what many of them do. Don't come to service. They might come twice a year or may come around a special time of a ceremony or a program, okay, close to a holiday or something, but that's it. Every time you see them, I've been intending to come to church, but I've been so busy. Pray for me. So I call them the pray for me people. I'm not trying to be funny because we're supposed to pray for one another. But see, the pray for me people are the ones who don't or haven't been doing nothing for the Lord, hardly come to service, but they're always telling you to pray for them that God will have them do what they got to do. No, God is not going to take them against their will. I pray that God have mercy on them and move on to repent and them do. But see, God is not going to do the work for them. Neither is he going to force them to do the work he has called them to do. Amen. So, hallelujah. So Paul here was able to say about this particular brother here that he was a faithful minister. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hidabashata. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to look at something Paul said here to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Remember the first message the Lord said. He doesn't hold you responsible for the mistake of others, but he requires you to be what? True to your calling and tell the truth. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Now look what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Do you understand that? That God, if you are a born-again believer, do you know what was one of the things you could say was committed to your trust? The gospel. The gospel. Okay? He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful." Wow. The best witness you can get is from God. He said, God counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. Why? Because that's a requirement from God for you to be true to your call. Okay? Hallelujah. See, sometimes God will reveal the call on a person's life, but let them know that sometimes it's not the particular time for them. That's why, because they're not prepared. And Paul said, Jesus counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. See, that's a requirement for God. You must understand, no matter what your calling is, whether your calling is in the fivefold ministry or whether you are the individual call, a particular call, special call from God, remember this. No matter what you call to do, it is a requirement that you be faithful in what God called you to do. I don't care one day God called you to pick up paper around the house. He wants you to be faithful in that call. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever God calls you to do for his glory, let me put it like that, because sometimes people will make up stuff. I'm talking about to glorify him and getting his word out, his gospel, his message out. Remember, there is a requirement that you be true. Amen? That's a requirement. If we get anything, if there's anything we need to get straight in that, is remember it's a requirement from God that you be true to your call. Hallelujah. And also that you tell the truth. Amen? Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back and look at Ephesians. We've got a few more minutes here. Just taking you through the scriptures on this from the witnesses in the Bible here. We can witness to what Jesus said through his angel messenger to Elijah in his first message about being true to the call and telling the truth, not a lie. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 11 to verse 15. Now, he says, and he, which is God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Remember, these callings come from God, that God calls people to this area. Okay? So once again, your calling has to come from God. It ain't nothing that you pick up or nothing that you just pick up. You know, I want to do this. You know, you got so many people who have been operating out of their calling because in their heart they wanted to be a pastor, but God actually called them to be a prophet. They tried to function as a pastor. This is why some die prematurely, but that's another story. But anyhow, verse 12 said, why he gave this fivefold ministry. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, every Christian, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That what? We henceforth, from this time forth, be no more children, what? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, now here's the key, speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, not telling a lie. Now we know first of all that the truth is the word because of John 17. But we are required overall to tell the truth, period. Okay? Not to be lying. Okay? Amen. And sad to say, some professing believers have been operating in a lying spirit and wondering why folks don't believe them whenever they are telling the truth. Because you have planted that seed so long of evil, of lying, that when you are telling the truth, don't nobody believe you. That's of your own doing. And you want to get upset and mad at folks because they don't believe you because you spent this time planting the wrong seed. Now all of a sudden, okay, I'll tell the truth. And see, don't nobody believe. So what you need to do is repent to the Lord. Truly repent. And truly confess. Amen. But here we're seeing proof that that's a requirement for the Lord is to speak the truth. Speak the truth. Look today, and you hear us talking about this a lot, but see, this abomination has been uplifted. So, homosexuality. You see some of these ministers, big-time ministers and all this, being interviewed and talked about homosexuality. Some of them begin to fumble around it when they're asked the question straight out about what they think about it. Some of them fumble around it. Some of it to get an answer, they dab all around the answer. And some of them won't answer. And they won't speak the truth. Okay? Why? Because, to tell you the truth, a lot of their members are living that kind of life. And see, they looking at their membership. Because if they got 200 strong and say 25 to 50 of them is living, practicing homosexuals, then they know they stand a chance of losing that 25 to 50. And so they're more caring about the membership than they are about the soul. See, in your call with God, in your walk with God, you are required to speak the truth, not a lie. Not a what they call, you know, you got people now talking about some white lie. Well, I just tell a little white lie. A lie is a lie, period, people. You need to quit trying to put color on this stuff. I tell a little white lie. No, it's a lie, period. You try to put little and white, try to dress it up and try to make it sound better. It ain't going to sound no better. A lie is a lie, period. Okay? Point blank. And now you have some ministers who operate in a lying spirit. I mean, they are telling some stuff, man, that make you go, man, are you a minister for real? Amen. If you're going around not speaking the truth, first of all, not speaking the word, and then not speaking just actual factual, okay, you're tainting the ministry. You're tainting your call. You're smearing it. Okay? And that's why when your name is brought up as a minister, they coming up with these nicknames about you, calling you false prophet and all this stuff. Okay? Because of the bad seed that you have sown. Hallelujah. Not speaking the truth in love. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, not in pride, not you thinking you're better than anybody, but in love. Okay? The love of God. Hallelujah. Speaking it where you're seeking the welfare of that soul. Not being selfish, but seeking the welfare of that soul. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Halabashata. I want to look at one more scripture here. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at one more scripture. We call it today. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. And the word of God says, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now remember in chapter 8, he said that our spirit bear with it with our spirit that we are the children of God. That meaning it testified together. The Holy Ghost and your spirit witnesses together of truth. So Paul said, I speak or I say the truth in Christ. Okay? Hallelujah. I lie not. See, if you are in Christ, meaning you're saved or born again, you're supposed to speak the truth. You're supposed to go around being a liar. See, Christ is true, and he is true. That's his nature. And we're supposed to operate in his nature. So if you're going around lying, speaking that which is not true, then you're operating in the nature of the enemy. Because remember what Jesus said about him, say he was a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. Okay? So all this is witnessing to when Jesus sent the Elijah to tell us that he required us to be true to our calling and tell the truth. It is a requirement of God that you be true and tell the truth. And Paul let you know, say, hey, you know, I tell the truth here. I'm not lying. Okay? Because you can cause some souls to turn away from Jesus because you being a liar. Let's just put it plain and simple. Amen? Praise be to God. So we're going to stop it here on this first message today. Lord, say the same. Continue tomorrow. On part 5 of this, the Lord say the same of this first message, looking at what else Jesus had to say in this first message. So, the We sign off. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we want to thank you for this day that you have blessed us with and for the presence of your Spirit. We want to thank you for teaching us what thus says the Lord, helping us to understand your word and the meaning of the scriptures in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, this day, we lift up your name and glorify you, and we are grateful that your Spirit was with us. Father, I pray that everyone that's listening, Lord God, that you will bless them, their families, and their loved ones, to the glory of the living God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And Father, I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. You've been listening to the broadcast once again. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. Grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, once again, who has given me opportunity once again to share the very word of God with you. And hallelujah. And may the Lord continue to watch over you and keep you in Jesus' name. And the Lord say the same till we meet again tomorrow. Look for the advertisement. God bless you in the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless. Okay.